Hi, welcome to Crypto Rambler. I'm Desiree. This is a long walkthrough of the Libra white paper so that you can understand it in detail. I'm going to put what my conclusions were here, just so that you don't necessarily have to listen to the whole thing. But then I really go through everything. There's a lot of my commentary in there as well. So let's talk about Libra and their new global cryptocurrency. I just had so much humor in me just now because they say no matter who you are, where you live, what you do, or how much you have, that is an absolute bold-faced lie. They will absolutely not provide you financial services within their ecosystems if you say the wrong thing or you are the wrong person. If you're someone like Julian Assange or governments don't like you, they're trying to work within regulatory framework and compliance. And so it absolutely matters who you are, where you live, what you do, and how much you have. That is how the world works today. And these are the companies that foster that. What they are saying that they want to create empowerment for billions of people, they're going to do it in their own way. And the best evidence we have of how companies will act is how they have acted in the past. If they want to create something that is permissionless, then they need to start from there. Not say that they're going to produce it within 5 years when they don't even know what this programming language is going to look for. They don't even have the funding yet. They're trying to create it. And now, as we've seen, they don't even know if governments are going to approve, and they specifically are trying to work with regulatory compliance. This, I think, is not a good idea. I do, however, think that it might take off. That's possible. So those are my thoughts. And if you want to hear my more detailed thoughts, then you can listen to the whole video, because I'm probably going to put this bit at the front, even though it's after. So Libra is about a stable currency that is not volatile, but it's created by companies that are saying that they want it to become more decentralized in the future, but they're not starting out that way. So I don't think that's going to work. I just found the time to actually look at the details of what Libra is, and I'm just going to be going through the white paper from the Libra Association members. Libra's mission is to enable a simple global currency and financial infrastructure that empowers billions of people. This document outlines our plans for a new decentralized blockchain, a low volatility cryptocurrency, and a smart contract platform that together aim to create a new opportunity for responsible financial services innovation. I'm going to download this so I can highlight what they're touting that Libra actually is and probably is not. So they're saying that it's a new decentralized blockchain, low volatility, it's going to have smart contracts, and it's a new opportunity for responsible financial services innovation. Okay, that's to imply that financial services innovation that are occurring right now aren't responsible. I guess there are tons of ICOs and stuff and scams that are out there. But you know what? People should be responsible for themselves and what they get involved with. And I always think if people are so concerned about people's finances and being scammed, then we should focus on educating people to make sure that they know what they're doing, rather than take away the rights of people who are educated on these things or self-educated on these things. Problem statement. The advent of the internet and mobile broadband has empowered billions of people globally to have access to the world's knowledge and information, high fidelity communications, and a wide range of lower cost, more convenient services. These services are now accessible using a $40 smartphone from almost anywhere in the world. This connectivity has driven economic empowerment by enabling more people to access the financial ecosystem. Working together, technology companies and financial institutions have also found solutions to help increase economic empowerment around the world. Despite this progress, large swaths of the world's population are still left behind. 1.7 billion adults globally remain outside of the financial system with no access to a traditional bank, even though 1 billion have a mobile phone and nearly half a billion have internet access. For too many, parts of the financial system look like telecommunication networks pre-internet. 20 years ago, the average price to send a text message in Europe was 16 cents per message. Now, everyone with a smartphone can communicate across the world for free with a basic data plan. Back then, telecommunications prices were high but uniform, whereas today access to financial services is limited or restricted for those who need it most. Those impacted by cost, reliability, and ability to seamlessly send money. I'm going to highlight that. All over the world, people with less money pay more for financial services. This is true, especially if you think about remittances and the Western Union. It costs a lot of money to send money back home. This is something that I've experienced living, because I'm from Jamaica and my parents sending me money or me sending them money, it's cost so much money. Like a wire transfer is like $35 and it takes a really long time. It takes like at least 3 days, I think it is. All over the world, people with less money pay more for financial services. Hard-earned income is eroded by fees, from remittances and wire costs to overdraft and ATM charges. This is true. Payday loans can charge annualized interest rates of 400% or more, and finance charges can be as high as $30 just to borrow $100. Yes. When people are asked, that's 30%. Oh my God. When people are asked why they remain on the fringe of the existing financial system, those who remain unbanked point to not having sufficient funds, high and unpredictable fees, banks being too far away, and lacking the necessary documentation. Blockchains and cryptocurrencies have a number of unique properties that can potentially address some of the problems of accessibility and trustworthiness. These include distributed governance, which ensures that no single entity controls the network. I like that. Open access, which allows anybody with an internet connection to participate. Highlight that. And security through cryptography, which protects the integrity of funds. Highlight that. And we have to clarify that the only security is just that it's auditable, so you can keep track of who sends money where, but no privacy. So we have to specify that it's the ledger that is secure. So we just know that we can trust the information on the ledger. That's all that's secure through cryptography for Bitcoin as it stands right now. But the existing blockchain systems have yet to reach mainstream adoption. Mass market usage of existing blockchains and cryptocurrencies has been hindered by their volatility and lack of scalability. This is something they mentioned. They want to have a low volatile cryptocurrency, which have so far made them poor stores of value and mediums of exchange. Some projects have also aimed to disrupt the existing system and bypass regulation, as opposed to innovating on compliance and regulatory fronts to improve the effectiveness of anti-money laundering. Okay, we believe that collaborating and innovating with the financial sector, including regulators and experts across a variety of industries, is the only way to ensure that a sustainable, secure, and trusted framework underpins this new system. And this approach can deliver a giant leap forward toward a lower cost, more accessible, and more connected global financial system. So that was their problem statement. I would summarize that by saying they think that technology is there for people to send money in a more cost-effective, reliable, and seamless way. And the people who don't have access to this, even though there's so much technology nowadays, are those who don't have a lot of money, those who need it most. And they want to capitalize on blockchain that now exists that allows money to be sent through distributed governance, open access, an auditable ledger. And then they're also focusing on working with the financial sector and not trying to bypass them and regulators and having anti-money laundering work properly. So that's their problem statement. Next, they have the opportunity. As we embark on this journey together, we think it is important to share our beliefs to align the community and ecosystem we intend to spark around this initiative. We believe that many people should have access to financial services and to cheap capital. We believe that the people have an inherent right to control the fruit of their legal labor. We believe that global, open, instant, and low-cost movement of money will create immense economic opportunity and more commerce across the world. We believe that people will increasingly trust decentralized forms of governance. We believe that a global currency and financial infrastructure should be designed and governed as a public good. We believe that we all have a responsibility to help advance financial inclusion, support ethical actors, and continuously uphold the integrity of the ecosystem. Facebook is not ethical. So I just want to put that there. Individual people within Facebook might think they're being, but that company is not. So that's kind of like double speak. I'm going to highlight that in here. Okay, so that was the opportunity. And now they have the solution. Introducing Libra. The world truly needs a reliable digital currency and infrastructure that together can deliver on the promise of the Internet of Money. Okay. Definitely have to highlight this. A reliable digital currency, an infrastructure, and something that delivers on the promise of the Internet of Money. What is the promise of the Internet of Money? Okay, I guess that's what they were talking about in their problem. Securing your financial assets on your mobile device should be simple and intuitive. Moving money around globally should be as easy and cost-effective as, and even more safe and secure than, sending a text message or sharing a photo, no matter where you live, what you do, or how much you earn. New product innovation and additional entrance to the ecosystem will enable the lowering of barriers to access and cost of capital for everyone and facilitate frictionless payments for more people. Now is the time to create a new kind of digital currency built on the foundation of blockchain technology. The mission for Libra is a simple global currency and financial infrastructure that empowers billions of people. So I think I said in the beginning, all kind of vague, empowers. Simple empowers, that's marketing right here. Simple, global, empowers. That's interesting. Simple and empowered. That is, someone with a marketing mindset came up with that line. Libra is made up of three parts that will work together to create a more inclusive financial system. It is built on a secure, scalable, and reliable blockchain. It is backed by a reserve of assets designed to give it intrinsic value. It is governed by the independent Libra Association, tasked with evolving the ecosystem. So changing the ecosystem in the way you, Facebook, not Libra, don't think Libra, think Facebook and MasterCard, etc. Don't come up with this new name like Libra, which is like liberate. You know, it's kind of weird how they have that name, that word in there, and it like brings up these associations because it's really important. That's not what Facebook, that's not what they are. And I think you could put that on record, me saying that everybody knows that is not what Facebook is. It's a for-profit company. It's not for liberty or anything like that. Libra also means to think of book and knowledge. That's not Facebook. It's not. Okay. The Libra currency is built on the Libra blockchain. Because it is intended to address a global audience, the software that implements the Libra blockchain is open source, designed so that anyone can build on it, and billions of people can depend on it for their financial needs. Imagine an open, interoperable ecosystem of financial services that developers and organizations will build to help people and businesses hold and transfer Libra for everyday use. With the proliferation of smartphones and wireless data, increasingly more people will be online and able to access Libra through these new services. To enable the Libra ecosystem to achieve this vision over time, the blockchain has been built from the ground up to prioritize scalability, security, efficiency in storage and throughput, and future adaptability. Keep reading for an overview of the Libra blockchain or read the technical paper. I'm not going to read the technical paper. The unit of currency is called Libra. I might skim it because I can't understand all the details, but probably get the gist. I guess I should take the time to read this because, no, I don't care about Libra enough. I'll read their version of what this is. And I already kind of know everything I need to know, which is who is making it. And that it's not actually decentralized. It's just using blockchain for, I guess, the masses and also trying to comply. I'm not going to read that, but I will continue reading the non-technical white paper, I guess, since white papers were really supposed to be this in the first place. The unit of currency is called Libra. Libra will need to be accepted in many places and easy to access for those who want to use it. In other words, people need to have confidence that they can use Libra and that its value will remain relatively stable over time. Unlike the majority of cryptocurrencies, Libra is fully backed by a reserve of real assets. A basket of bank deposits and short-term government securities will be held in the Libra reserve for every Libra that is created, building trust in its intrinsic value. The Libra reserve will be administered with the objective of preserving the value of Libra over time. Keep reading for an overview of Libra and the reserve, or read more here. The Libra Association is an independent, not-for-profit membership organization headquartered in Geneva, Switzerland. Switzerland's the place to be. The association's purpose is to coordinate and provide a framework for governance for the network and reserve and lead social impact grant making in support of financial inclusion. This white paper is a reflection of its mission, vision, and purview. The association's membership is formed from the network of validator nodes that operate the Libra blockchain. Oh god. Centralization. Members of the Libra Association will consist of geographically distributed and diverse businesses, nonprofit and multilateral organizations, and academic institutions. The initial group of organizations that will work together on finalizing the association's charter and become founding members upon its completion are industry, Payments, MasterCard, PayPal, PayU, Naspers, FinTech, Armando Nunes, Stripe, Visa, Technology and Marketplaces, Booking Holdings, eBay, Facebook, /Calibra, Farfetch, Lyft, Mercado Pago, Spotify AB, Uber Technologies Inc., Telecommunications, Iliad, Vodafone Group, Blockchain, Anchorage, Bison Trails, Coinbase, I hate Coinbase, Inc., Zappo Holdings Limited, I don't know how to pronounce that, Venture Capital, Andreessen Horowitz, Breakthrough Initiatives, Rubik Capital, Thrive Capital, Union Square Ventures, Nonprofit and Multilateral Organizations and Academic Institutions, Creative Destruction Lab, Kiva, Mercy Corps, Women's World Banking. We hope to have approximately 100 members of the Libra Association by the target launch in the first half of 2020. No, I most certainly don't want to have anything to do with this. This is just the establishment capitalizing on new technology and trying to compete with this new technology. And you know what? They're very likely to succeed. There are always going to be people like me who are more liberty-minded. And I think that we might have our own success, but I think that Facebook and Libra could be very successful because they know how to appeal to people, and a lot of people don't care about things like centralization. They care about convenience and being able to send their remittances cheaper. That makes sense. So I absolutely hate this, and I think it's just the establishment maintaining its power. However, I do think that they're very likely to be very successful if the government lets them. Facebook Teams played a key role in the creation of the Libra Association and the Libra blockchain, working with the other founding members. While final decision-making authority rests with the association, Facebook is expected to maintain a leadership role through 2019. Facebook created Calibra, a regulated subsidiary to ensure separation between social and financial data. Oh my god, that's never gonna happen. And to build and operate services on its behalf on top of the Libra network. These companies lie all the time. I don't know why anybody would believe that. Once the Libra network launches, Facebook and its affiliates will have the same commitments, privileges, and financial obligations as any other founding member, so just an oligarchy. As one member among many, Facebook's role in governance of the association will be equal to that of its peers. Blockchains are described as either permissioned or permissionless in relation to the ability to participate as a validator. In a permissioned blockchain, access is granted to run a validator node. In a permissionless blockchain, anyone who meets the technical requirements can run a validator node. In that sense, Libra will start as a permissioned blockchain. To ensure that Libra is truly open and always operates in the best interest of its users, our ambition is for the Libra network to become permissionless. The challenge is that, as of today, we do not believe that there is a proven solution that can deliver the scale, stability, and security needed to support billions of people and transactions across the globe through a permissionless network. Well, you guys introducing this competition will make sure that that might never be achieved through open source projects, figuring out how to scale. And it's just going to come down to the people and what they're willing to sacrifice for convenience, as always. One of the association's directives will be to work with the community to research and implement this transition, which will begin within 5 years of the public launch of the Libra blockchain and ecosystem. Essential to the spirit of Libra, in both its permissioned and permissionless state, the Libra blockchain will be open to everyone. Any consumer, developer, or business can use the Libra network, build products on top of it, and add value through their services. Open access ensures low barriers to entry and innovation, and encourages healthy competition that benefits consumers. This is foundational to the goal of building more inclusive financial options for the world. Okay, so that was the introduction to Libra. I already said what I thought, I guess. So, next section, the Libra blockchain. The goal of the Libra blockchain is to serve as a solid foundation for financial services, including a new global currency which could meet the daily financial needs of billions of people. Through the process of evaluating existing options, we decided to build a new blockchain based on these three requirements. Able to scale to billions of accounts, which requires high transaction throughput, low latency, and an efficient, high-capacity storage system. Highly secure to ensure safety of funds and financial data. Flexible, so it can power the Libra ecosystem's governance as well as future innovation in financial services. The Libra blockchain is designed from the ground up to holistically address these requirements and build on the learnings from existing projects and research. yeah, in your competition. A combination of innovative approaches and well-understood techniques. The next section will highlight three decisions regarding the Libra blockchain. Designing and using the Move programming language, using a Byzantine fault tolerance consensus approach, adopting and iterating on widely adopted blockchain data structures. I don't remember what BFD is. I don't know what Move is. Move is a new programming language for implementing custom transaction logic and smart contracts on the Libra blockchain. Because of Libra's goal to one day serve billions of people, Move is designed with safety and security as the highest priorities. Move takes insights from security incidents that have happened with smart contracts to date and creates a language that makes it inherently easier to write code that fulfills the author's intent, thereby lessening the risk of unintended bugs or security incidents. Specifically, Move is designed you're always going to have bugs and security incidents with code. You have to learn over time. Specifically, Move is designed to prevent assets from being cloned. It enables resource types that constrains digital assets to the same properties as physical assets. A resource has a single owner. It can only be spent once, and the creation of new resources is restricted. That just sounds like a blockchain. The Move, and the double spend stuff, the Move language also facilitates automatic proofs that transactions satisfy certain properties, such as payment transactions only changing the account balances of the payer and receiver. By prioritizing this feature, Move will help keep the Libra blockchain secure. By making the development of critical transaction code easier, Move enables the secure implementation of the Libra ecosystem's governance policies, such as the management of the Libra currency and the network of validator nodes. Move will accelerate the evolution of the Libra blockchain protocol and any financial innovations built on top of it. We anticipate that the ability for developers to create contracts will be opened up over time in order to support the evolution and validation of Move. This could take a really long time. To facilitate agreement among all validator nodes on the transactions to be executed and the order in which they are executed, oh god, I just thought of something. They'll also have the money to get talent and pay developers to do what they want. Again, it comes down to people, individual people choosing. To facilitate agreement among all validator nodes on the transactions to be executed and the order in which they are executed, the Libra blockchain adopted the BFT approach using the Libra BFT consensus protocol. What is Byzantine fault tolerance? Byzantine fault tolerance is the dependability of a fault-tolerant computer system, particularly distributed computing systems where components may fail and there's imperfect information on whether a component is failed. I think that just means it's decentralized. So it's like Tor or peer-to-peer where you have multiple instances of the same data. And so if the data goes down in one place, you can have it somewhere else. I think that's what that means. BFT system is able to continue to function even if some nodes fail or act maliciously. Okay, so it's just resistant to failure. I'll just choose to summarize it like that. Specifically, this approach builds trust in the network because BFT consensus protocols are designed to function correctly even if some validator nodes up to one-third of the network are compromised or fail. Well, that's the definition. This class of consensus protocols also enables high transaction throughputs, low latency, and a more energy-efficient approach to consensus and proof-of-work used in some other blockchains. Yeah, I'm not that big of a fan of proof-of-work, but it's okay. In order to securely store transactions, data on the Libra blockchain is protected by Merkle trees, a data structure used by other blockchains that enables the detection of any changes to existing data. Unlike previous blockchains, which view the blockchain as a collection of blocks of transactions, the Libra blockchain is a single data structure that records the history of transactions and states over time. This implementation simplifies the work of applications accessing the blockchain, allowing them to read any data from any point in time and verify the integrity of that data using a unified framework. I don't get this. This is what blockchains currently do. I mean, I guess they mean you have to sync the block or something, so it takes time, but that's just what a blockchain is. I don't see how a data structure that records the history of transactions and states over time, that's the blockchain. I guess they're saying it's a single data structure. So I guess that's some kind of improvement, but that seems meaningless to me because that's what blockchains already do. The Libra blockchain is pseudonymous and allows users to hold one or more addresses that are not linked to their real-world identity, like Bitcoin. This approach is familiar to many users, developers, and regulators. The Libra Association will oversee the evolution of the Libra blockchain protocol and network, and it will continue to evaluate new techniques that enhance privacy in the blockchain while considering concerns of practicality, scalability, and regulatory impact. Okay. For more details, read the technical paper on the Libra blockchain.
Okay.
We've open-sourced an early preview of the Libra testnet with accompanying documentation. Our commitment is to work in the open with the community and hope you will read, build, and provide feedback. I'm not, but I'll watch other people do it. Okay, so that was the more technical aspect of how the blockchain works. And it seems that it's just like a regular blockchain. It's just providing the same things and they're trying to have a programming language that makes it easier to develop on. And it's secure, Mercury, that's just what other blockchains provide already. Next section, the Libra currency and reserve. We believe that the world needs a global... It's really hard to keep talking for a long time. My mouth gets dry. We believe that the world needs a global digitally native currency that brings together the attributes of the world's best currencies. Stability, low inflation, wide global acceptance, and fungibility. Stability, low inflation, wide global acceptance. That's where they might win. And fungibility. The stability bit, that's going to happen over time with coins that are currently volatile. As more people come on the network, if companies, established companies like Facebook will let that happen. The Libra currency is designed to help with these global needs, aiming to expand how money works for more people around the world. Libra is designed to be a stable digital cryptocurrency that will be fully backed by a reserve of real assets, the Libra Reserve, and supported by a competitive network of exchanges buying and selling Libra. That means anyone with Libra has a high degree of assurance they can convert their digital currency into local fiat currency based on an exchange rate, just like exchanging one currency for another when traveling. This approach is similar to how other currencies were introduced in the past. To help instill trust in a new currency and gain widespread adoption during its infancy, it was guaranteed that a country's notes could be traded in for real assets, such as gold. That's a good thing. It's sad that we don't have that anymore. Instead of backing Libra with gold, though, it will be backed by a collection of low volatility assets, such as bank deposits and short-term government securities in currencies from stable and reputable central banks. The thing I see here is that, will I be able to actually go and give my details and keys, etc. for Libra, and then exchange it for these assets that they're holding? I highly doubt that, so I don't like that they bring this up in this way, as if they're offering the same kind of security that they had in the past with gold. That's not what's occurring here. So what they're saying is true, and it's I guess kind of good, depending on how you want to look at it, but there's like an association being created here that doesn't actually exist. It is important to highlight that this means one Libra will not always be able to convert into the same amount of a given local currency. That is, Libra is not a peg to a single currency. Rather, as the value of the underlying assets moves, the value of one Libra in any local currency may fluctuate. However, the reserve assets are being chosen to minimize volatility. So holders of Libra can trust the currency's ability to preserve value over time. The assets in the Libra Reserve will be held by a geographically distributed network of custodians. Global, haha. That's why all the state governments are so afraid. The assets in the Libra Reserve will be held by a geographically distributed network of custodians with investment grade credit rating to provide both security and decentralization of the assets. No. Oh God. I'm not a fan. The assets behind Libra are the major difference between it and many existing cryptocurrencies that lack such intrinsic value and hence have prices that fluctuate significantly based on expectations. Libra is indeed a cryptocurrency though, and by virtue of that, it inherits several attractive properties of these new digital currencies. You know, but it's good that the prices can fluctuate like that, because that's price being found naturally by the market. You know, yes, it's pretty volatile, but hopefully over time, with enough people using it, that volatility will slow down. But it's important to have that fluctuation, because you're seeing the demand and supply. And yes, it's influenced by large holders or bots, etc. But it's still, that's the market telling you what the price is. It's being found organically. So I think It's volatile right now, but in the future, it's probably fine. Oh, I kind of miss this. It said that it lacks intrinsic value. I mean, people believing in something gives it value. So I don't think that existing cryptocurrencies lack intrinsic value. That's just them saying that because they want to promote Libra. And hence have prices that fluctuate significantly based on expectations. Libra is indeed a cryptocurrency though, and by virtue of that, it inherits several attractive properties of these new digital currencies. The ability to send money quickly, the security of cryptography, and the freedom to easily transmit funds across borders. Just as people can use their phones to message friends anywhere in the world today, with Libra, the same can be done with money, instantly, securely, and at low cost. You can also do that with crypto. And the government probably isn't going to let you do this. Facebook, /Calibra/MasterCard/PayPal/ all the people who currently try to limit free speech and who have agendas and who are going to just have more power to try and control people's lives through finances as well as through their data. Interest on the reserve assets will be used to cover the costs of the system, ensure low transaction fees, pay dividends to investors who provided capital to jumpstart the ecosystem, read the Libra Association here, gosh, the same people who already have tons of money, and support further growth and adoption. I'm sorry, I keep injecting my politics into this. I'll keep it, but I'm thinking of toning it down. The rules for allocating interest on the reserve will be set in advance and will be overseen by the Libra Association. Users of Libra do not receive a return from the reserve. Okay, so that was the Libra currency and reserve. And they're saying that it's going to be stable, have low inflation, and be able to, people can use it to send money across borders. So that's what they're saying. Oh, and they also made the bold statement that current cryptocurrencies lack intrinsic value, which I totally don't agree with. The Libra Association. Next section. The Libra Association. To make the mission of Libra a reality, a simple global currency and financial infrastructure that empowers billions of people, the Libra blockchain and Libra Reserve need a governing entity that is comprised of diverse and independent members. The governing entity is a Libra Association, an independent, not-for-profit membership organization headquartered in Geneva, Switzerland. Switzerland has a history of global neutrality and openness to blockchain technology, and the association strives to be a neutral international institution, hence the choice to be registered there. The association is designed to facilitate the operation of Libra blockchain to coordinate the agreement among its stakeholders, the network's validator nodes, in their pursuit to promote, develop, and expand the network, and to manage the reserve. Not interested in this. So it's just a network owned by current corporations who have a lot of power. The association is governed by the Libra Association Council, which is comprised of one representative per validator node. Together, they make decisions and they're going to have about 1,000, they think, in the future. Together, they make decisions on the governance of the network and reserve. Initially, this group consists of the founding members, businesses, nonprofit, and multilateral organizations, and academic institutions from around the world. All decisions are brought to the council, and major policy or technical decisions require the consent of 2/3 of the vote, the same supermajority of the network required in the BFT consensus protocol. You know, the way cryptocurrencies are, in some cases, it's like democracy in action. And that, I think, can go very badly. However, this version of like oligarchies and companies in power being the ones in charge of the network, that is also really bad. I do think that any individual can rise to power, or group can rise to power and become the thing that they didn't start out as. So it's more like what the US government is trying to be, the US Constitution, the US in general, is that you're trying to make it so that the infrastructure inhibits that. So I think this is bad, but I think democracy, straight democracy, manifested as technology, can also be really bad. Through the association, the validator nodes align on the network's technical roadmap and development goals. In that sense, it is similar to other not-for-profit entities, often in the form of foundations, which govern open source projects. That's what Particle has. As Libra relies on a growing distributed community of open source contributors, to further itself, the association is a necessary vehicle to establish guidance as to which protocols are specifications to develop and to adopt. The Libra Association also serves as an entity through which the Libra Reserve is managed, and hence the stability and growth of the Libra economy are achieved. The association is the only party able to create, mint, and destroy, burn, Libra. Coins are only minted when authorized resellers have purchased those coins from the association with fiat assets to fully back the new coins. Coins are only burned when the authorized resellers sell Libra coin to the association in exchange for the underlying assets. So you have access to the underlying assets, but not everybody using it. Since authorized resellers will always be able to sell Libra coins to the reserve at a price equal to the value of the baskets, the Libra Reserve acts as a buyer of last resort. These activities of the association are governed and constrained by a reserve management policy that can only be changed by a supermajority of the association members. In these early years of the network, there are additional roles that need to be performed on behalf of the association. The recruitment of founding members to serve as validator nodes, the fundraising to jumpstart the ecosystem, the design and implementation of incentive programs to propel the adoption of Libra, including the distribution of such incentives to founding members, and the establishment of the association's social impact grant-making program. Of course, they have to add this bit into it, but I guess they're saying it's for empowerment. An additional goal of the association is to develop and promote an open identity standard. We believe that decentralized and portable digital identity is a prerequisite to financial inclusion and competition. It's also a prerequisite to being tracked by the government, having your data shared with the government, being blacklisted from society if you say the wrong things and you don't want to be governed in the way that the people who control the network, in this case it would be the Libra Association, want things to be governed. So it's a prerequisite for that, but you could also go to other cryptocurrencies that don't have the monster of Libra, the Libra Association, on it and still has very similar features. Okay, not the low volatility, but that's something that can be shifted over time. You just don't need to have Facebook and corporations as they exist right now, which so many people are upset with. Like, so many people are upset with tech companies. Why would you then want to invite them even further into your lives in the form that they are currently in? Because it's still them. An important objective of the Libra Association is to move toward increasing decentralization over time. This decentralization ensures that there are low barriers to entry for both building on and using the network, and improves the Libra ecosystem's resilience over the long term. As discussed above, the association will develop a path toward permissionless governance and consensus on the Libra network. The association's objective will be to start this transition within 5 years, and in so doing will gradually reduce the reliance on the founding members. In the same spirit, the association aspires to minimize the reliance on itself as administrator of the Libra Reserve. So they're trying to say that they're starting out all corporate, but eventually they're going to give us, like, what more libertarian kind of people who are into crypto, or anarchist kind of people who are into crypto, want. No, why would you ever expect that? You know, power wants power. Power is addictive. Like, there's no way I would even think. Good intentions don't always lead to results that are good. So they can say that's what they intend to do within 5 years, but they don't even know if they're going to be able to build what they're saying within 5 years. It might not work the way they think it will. And if you want it to be permissionless, then you have to start like that. You know, like, you have to start with the proper principles and move forward from there. You can't, like, start one way and then say you're going to do something different. That's like poisoning the root of something. So no. Okay, next section. What's next for Libra? Nice, cute graphic. Today, we are publishing this document outlining our goals for Libra and launching Libra.org as a home for the association and all things Libra. It will continue to be updated over the coming months. We are also open sourcing the code for the Libra blockchain and launching Libra's initial testnet for developers to experiment with and build upon. There is much left to do before the target launch in the first half of 2020. The Libra blockchain. Over the coming months, the association will work with the community to gather feedback on the Libra blockchain prototype and bring it to a production-ready state. In particular, this work will focus on ensuring the security, performance, and scalability of the protocol and implementation. The Libra Association will construct well-documented APIs and libraries to enable users to interact with the Libra blockchain. The Libra Association will create a framework for the collaborative development of the technology behind the Libra blockchain using the open source methodology. It's not open source, so I mean, like, it's like they're trying to combine principles from people who are into freedom with like a complete opposite of that. It's weird. It's like a, what do you call it? Non-existent paradox. The association will perform extensive testing of the blockchain, which range from tests of the protocol to constructing a full-scale test of the network, in collaboration with entities such as wallet services and exchanges to ensure the system is working before launch. The association will work to foster the development of the Move language and determine a path for third parties to create smart contracts once language development has stabilized after the launch of the Libra ecosystem. Together with the community, the association will research a technological challenges on the path to a permissionless ecosystem so that we can meet the objective to begin the transition within 5 years of the launch. The reserve. These are what they're trying to target for the first half of 2020. The first one was the Libra blockchain. The second thing is the reserve. The association will work to establish a geographically distributed and regulated group of global institutional custodians for the reserve. The association will establish operational procedures for the reserve to interact with authorized resellers and ensure high transparency and auditability. The association will establish policies and procedures that establish how the association can change the composition of the reserve basket. And then the next thing they're trying to launch by first half of 2020, the Libra Association. We will work to grow the Libra Association Council to around 100 geographically distributed and diverse members, all serving as the initial validator nodes of the Libra blockchain. The association will develop and adopt a comprehensive charter and set of bylaws for the association on the basis of the currently proposed governance structure. We will recruit a managing director for the association and work with her or him to continue hiring for the association's executive team. We will identify social impact partners aligned with our joint mission and work with them to establish a social impact advisory board and a social impact program. And then, next section, how to get involved. The association envisions a vibrant ecosystem of developers building apps and services to spur the global use of Libra. The association defines success as enabling any person or business globally to have fair, affordable, and instant access to their money. For example, success will mean that a person working abroad has a fast and simple way to send money to family back home, and a college student can pay their rent as easily as they can buy coffee. I know exactly what those needs are as a person who is not from, I'm from Jamaica and I live in the US and I have had to send money back home and also vice versa. And I'm still in school even though I'm not in college as in undergrad anymore. And this would be nice, but I don't want it coming from Facebook and all these companies. I was freaking banned by PayPal. I hate them. It's more like it's just convenience, and that's the only reason why I would continue to use them. Our journey is just beginning, and we are asking the community to help. If you believe in what Libra could do for billions of people around the world, share your perspective and join in. Your feedback is needed to make financial inclusion a reality for people everywhere. If you are a researcher or protocol developer, an early preview of the Libra testnet is available under the Apache 2.0 open source license with accompanying documentation. This is just the start of the process, and the testnet is still an early prototype under development, but you can read, build, and provide feedback right away. Since the current focus is on stabilizing the prototype, the project may initially be slower to take community contributions. However, we are committed to building a community-oriented development process. It can't be community oriented when you're like from a corporations like you guys are. However, we are committed to building a community oriented development process and opening the platform to developers, starting with the pull requests as soon as possible. If you want to learn more about Libra Read Hair, if your organization is interested in becoming a founding member or applying for social impact grants from the Libra Association, Read More Hair. Wow. I definitely don't like this last bit because who they decide, you know, like a lot of these companies are super left-leaning. So what they think of as social impact, I probably wouldn't like. So, yeah. The association will work with the global community in the coming months and continue to partner with policymakers worldwide to further the mission. Conclusion. This is the goal for Libra, a stable currency built on a secure and stable open source blockchain, backed by a reserve of real assets and governed by an independent association. Our hope is to create more access to better, cheaper, and open financial services, no matter who you are, where you live, what you do, or how much you have. We recognize that the road to delivering this will be long, arduous, and won't be achieved in isolation. It will take coming together and forming a real movement around this pursuit. We hope you will join us and help turn this dream into a reality for billions of people around the world. I just had so much humor in me just now because they say no matter who you are, where you live, what you do, or how much you have, that is an absolute bold-faced lie. They will absolutely not provide you financial services within their ecosystems if you say the wrong thing or you are the wrong person. If you're someone like Julian Assange or governments don't like you, they're trying to work within regulatory framework and compliance. And so it absolutely matters who you are, where you live, what you do, and how much you have. That is how the world works today. And these are the companies that foster that. What they are saying that they want to create empowerment for billions of people, they're going to do it in their own way. And the best evidence we have of how companies will act is how they have acted in the past. If they want to create something that is permissionless, then they need to start from there. Not say that they're going to produce it within 5 years when they don't even know what this programming language is going to look for. They don't even have the funding yet. They're trying to create it. And now, as we've seen, they don't even know if governments are going to approve, and they specifically are trying to work with regulatory compliance. This, I think, is not a good idea. I do, however, think that it might take off. That's possible. So those are my thoughts. Libra is about a stable currency that is not volatile, but it's created by companies that are saying that they want it to become more decentralized in the future, but they're not starting out that way. So I don't think that's going to work. Remember that you can find me on other platforms, mostly just DTube. I'm also on Medium. And I hope you have a good day, and I'll talk to you soon.